Hey everyone, Paul here. We had some trouble this week with the show. There were some audio quality issues with one of the tracks, and also a sync issue, which we didn't notice until it was too late. So you'll notice in some parts, Antoine and I seem to be talking on top of each other, where I'm commenting on stuff that he's in the process of saying. I promise you, I can't see the future. It's just an audio glitch. Sorry about that. We'll do better next time. Thanks. Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio. And this week, we are not alone. We have not only the sumptuous Antoine Bergeron, so delicious.
Hello.
We have the other white meat. Yom la machine.
Hello, this is a mistake.
Well, we don't know if it's a mistake yet. We can assume.
I can prove you it would be.
How's everyone doing today?
Doing good.
Fine.
Yeah. So we had to have Yom on the show just so, you know, people knew that even though I make fun of him every episode, assuming I remember, I don't actually hate him.
No, you actually have a big man crush on me. I know.
Sure.
I'd be crush, if you want, prefer.
Oh, I'd give you a hobby crush. I mean, you are a far superior painter, you're a good painting role model. You give some good critique. You give some honest critique, which is nice. And I don't really hate you.
So no, it's...
That's also good.
But I'm an easy target, so yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe.
But it's fun that you say that I gave a good, honest critique, because it's not everyone who can take it.
No, I think I have to say, I think both you and Antoine are very good about that. Yeah, you like the critique sandwich style, which I think is a very effective way to critique anything. Yeah, little something good. Little something not so good. Finish it up with little something good so you end on a sweet taste in your mouth. Yeah. Hopefully walk away a little bit better for it. The critique sandwich is it's not a new thing, right?
So no. Time proof method.
Exactly. So what's everyone doing tonight? What do we got on the table? Antoine, I bet you're not painting an airplane, which is gonna be good.
No, they're done. All the airplanes are done. No, I'm painting a war machine.
War machine?
For yourself?
Yes.
What? What year is this? What?
Time travel. We've time traveled, guys.
Not really. So, I've been painting a lot of stuff in the last 2 years to get them at least base, color blocked.
Yeah,
for play.
Yeah.
And I've done that with my Brigands Warlord. And that might have been like 2 years ago. So I have a game of Company of Iron tomorrow. So it's time to finish that guy because he's the only one that's not fully painted in my list.
Oh, wow.
Well,
so that's what I'm working on.
That's surprising, man.
Any incredible reason I'm able to finish him, I have three Valkyries in front of me. But I don't see that happening.
Wow, so it's becoming a thing.
No. It will stop after that.
I have to say, I've heard the call of War Machine lately too, but I've been resisting thus far. Sorry, go ahead, Yom. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I'm painting Nariko, the Tooth of the Dragon. By AMSA? Can you elaborate?
The Albertan Minister of Painter Society of Alberta or whatever?
Yeah, mainly of Albertans.
I'll never get over that.
No, it's funny. I don't know why. I guess it's for a better sound because otherwise it would be just AMPS. And AMPS is already taken. I
don't know. Like the war AMPS? No, the miniature guys. Oh, okay.
But, yeah. It's a cool boss. This is for myself. I decided, well, first I liked it, but I like a lot of models out there, a lot of boss. So this one is my, well, I know Dallas Madil was at the helm of that project, so I wanted to encourage this group while painting for something for myself that I liked. So it's a two birds with one stone.
Yep. Dallas is a cowboy hat Dallas, right?
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
He's a
pretty cool guy. So I know him, but I did not realize his last name was Madil, and I've heard the name, but never put the two people together.
Yes.
Because I met him several times at Adepticon. Super tall, super nice. Looks like he's from Calgary, so wears a cowboy hat.
He's funny. He's a funny guy, but he does a lot, not only in Alberta, but like when Sergio Calvo came, when he did a Canada tour, Dallas had a lot to do for that. Like, I mean, he was a main...
So he's like involved in the community is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was a main organizer for that trip. So the main reason and everything. So he does a lot over there, but it reflects everywhere. So they do, they started doing some models like to help raise funds for themselves, to help organize more hobby activities over there and to bring more teachers. So it helps at the same time.
Yeah, see, my plan is just to wait for you to go to all these things and then mooch off your knowledge for free. That's really my cunning plan on that. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Proceeding as it's on target.
I should ask you for a sponsorship. I'll wear my Geeks of the North t-shirt if you want.
Oh, sorry, I'm actually amazed that what I'm doing right now is kind of working. So, you have to forgive me. I'm doing something that I saw Jim Wappel do once, and I was like, wow, he makes it look so simple. The answer for that is because it actually is very simple.
So, Paul, what are you working on?
I'm still working on that Minotaur. Right now I'm painting dirt. So they all come with a scenic base. And my Minotaur is like a shaman or whatever. And he's got this like dirt wall kind of going up and around him. And it desperately needs some paint. So I looked at what was in my palette and I said, hey, those colors can make dirt looking stuff. So I'm now painting. And it's, I guess it's going surprisingly well. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Because nothing ever goes this well for me this long. There's gonna be a reckoning at some point.
Well, we'll see when we see the picture, right? We'll know then.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh. Oh, yeah, I see where that all went wrong. But,
we'll give you honest feedback because we're good at it.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm looking forward to... I mean, listen, he's never going to be a display piece. He's not a display piece, right? He's a gaming miniature, but he's probably the longest miniature I've ever like worked on.
But that's Judgment.
Yes.
Right? So those are the 54 mil?
Yeah. Yeah.
So why not make them like a display miniature? Or, I mean, paint them the best you can.
My patience level ain't going to last that long, but, I'm definitely doing it to a higher standard than what I normally do. And I'm enjoying it. Nothing bad to say about it. I'm quite enjoying the piece. As with every miniature I paint, I clean it, I paint it, then I realize I've missed all kinds of stuff, and he's got mold lines everywhere. But then he's already painted, and I'm like, So he won't be perfect, because I'm far too lazy for that. But he'll be pretty good. I can't find my liquid talent though, guys, and this is throwing me. And I can't find my Agrax Earthshade. I can't work like this, guys.
No, I mean that's one of the basic necessities.
Paint. It's like that song from Jungle Book, right? Bare Necessities?
Yeah. Can see Baloo singing that. You just need your Agrax.
Okay, don't try that hard, Yom. Woohoo, found it. Okay. Sorry if I sounded like I was far away from the mic there. It's because I was turned around in my chair, talking over my shoulder. Trying to at least throw my voice at the mic. Yeah, now that I've got this all carefully painted, time to slather it in Earthshade. Okay, maybe not slather. Slather's a poor term. I'll selectively apply wash in the deepest, darkest recesses to build up slowly the shadows and the effects. Or something, something stuff. But yeah, I'm really finding this experience liberating, I guess is the best term for it. We'll go into more a bit later. I don't want to go into that whole, since that was one of our topics. But yeah, no, I'm really enjoying it. The model's coming along. I'm going away on vacation this week, so I'm hoping to get them done before I go. So I can maybe post a couple pictures or something, but we'll have to see. Aside from that, what else I worked on? Oh, I did a little bit of 3D something-something. I made some soul tokens for Judgment. And then once Yom saw them, he asked me to make some tokens for his brewers for Guild Ball. For the beer tokens? Is that what the model has for Pint Pot?
Yeah, it's Pint Pot. He has a special rules that he has 6 tokens to spend during the game. And I couldn't find anything to suit my need, but when I saw the soul token you made, I was like, huh, why not just ask Paul? Where's this Paul?
There's a way. There's a way. So then the first thing I did was ask Steve, because I needed the logo, and I could not get the, for some reason, the logo I had, it would not process properly, so I asked Steve to do it in Photoshop for me, so he did that. And then I took that logo and threw it into Mesh Mixer with a basic design I had for a token and spat out something that printed up pretty easily.
That's cool.
So, yeah. And the soul tokens got a good response, too, on the Judgment page. People were like, yeah, this is why I need to get a 3D printer. Okay. They come in handy, assuming you have some basic 3D skills and or a whole lot of time on your hands to learn them. That also works. Yeah. And let's see. Did I do anything else hobby-wise? I don't think so. Yeah, that's about it. Antoine, what about you?
What did I do?
I know we messed up the formats because Yom's not used to the new format where we talk about all our games and stuff all at one go. He's still on the old show format where we did all the hobby stuff and then went back to the games. Mm. So
it's been a while since you kicked me out. So.
Well, if you bathed once in a while, maybe I'd have you on. Sorry, Antoine, you were saying?
Last week during the recording, I was working on some manifold models. Those are now done. It was Nino and Santiago to finish my Ortigas crew. So I'm only missing from the base book Papaloco. Yeah, the
dynamite guy. Was he a separate blister?
He was.
I guess no.
Maybe. I don't remember, but they're all in the same box together, so I have no idea. Yeah, I have.
Oh, so you do have him.
I have the stuff from the second book too, but they're just not painted. But I know Papaloco is from the core box.
Okay.
Well, at least the first book.
Yeah. I think he was in the core box. I just wasn't sure. The way you made it sound was like you didn't have it.
I'm
like,
well,
then you have the core box. So
he was just not,
was he not
assembled and painted okay. At the same time.
He's not.
Yeah.
Not ready for prime time. Gotcha. So
those two are done, and eventually I'll get to Papaloco. After that, I did some sculpting on Thomas Mason Patreon's hangout. Continued working on my Crow Witch. If it wasn't for those hangouts, I think I wouldn't have touched that model in 2 or 3 months. So at least there's that. I have really slowed down sculpting, but that has been compensated by a ton of painting in the last month. So at least there's that. Last night I started molding. I quarter of models, so I'm doing new molds for the unicorn and the platypus. But I'm also molding the Puggycorn and the Hippo Ballerina. So I'll finally be able to start doing some cast of them. I'm almost set to do pressure casting to have a better result on my cast, less bubbles. But I had a problem with the compressor, so that will have to wait until it gets here. Sadly. And I have no other... Well, I have my airbrush compressor, but I don't want to use that. He won't survive.
Yeah, that's not what that is for.
Too heavy duty for it.
That is what we call a bad idea.
And apart from that, I have done the most boring custom base I ever did. I did that tonight for Granite, which is a Gilball model. For my Mason, the Mason, I used the models from the kickoff box, which is pre-assembled plastics. And they come with flat bases. They're round lip, but there's no dip in it, and they're flat. And to go fast when I did my fast paint challenge, I just painted stone tiles on that flat base. However, the other models for the team come with regular round lip bases, and those have dips in them. So my custom base is just filling out flat around lip base.
And making it flat so that... Oh, Antoine.
It's like working to regress. It's like
yeah, so it's filled out. I just need to file the edges once the putty is dried. So I glued plastic card in it, filled the seam with putty, and I just need to file that before I can paint it to look boring ass.
I don't even have anything to say to that. What did you say, Paul? I don't even have anything to say about that. Like, it's just... Yeah. How the mighty have fallen, you know?
That's really funny. But at the same time, they will look to, like they will belong to the same team. So
fit better.
You kind of have to do it.
But I could have just sculpted stone tile in the same style, but it would visually be different if I did. So
yeah, it would stand out and then not work.
But I'm looking at the model too, and it's gonna be hard to paint her at the same level I painted the plastic, because the model is so much better. Yeah.
Well, it's a metal, right? Versus one. The...
So that's going to be almost a sacrifice to butcher her like I did the other plastics.
Well, you didn't... Hold on, buddy. To say you butchered them does you quite a bit of a disservice there.
Yeah.
I think there's still some very nice tabletop miniatures. Yes, Antoine, they're not the same as your butchers, but that was also not your plan, right? So,
but one of the reasons I painted them that way,
yes, you would be painting down
crappy plastic models.
Well, it's also you want to do it fast and quick, right?
It is not the same.
I know.
Yeah, but
I understand. I've been there too. I've done that where I've painted a model to a, not great standard. Or it happens most often when you go back to an older army, right? You add something to it. You're like, oh, damn. You know, I gotta paint this like I painted 6 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Or else you end up repainting
that's what you
your
did
army.
With your
Yeah. Took too long to paint, so now I have to repaint the old models.
Well, it doesn't matter. The game is dying anyway, so.
Well, maybe I won't say that, but my interest for the game is really diminishing, though.
Yeah, I'm just teasing. I don't think the game is dying. I hope it's not dying. I think it's a good game. I wish I got to play more of it.
And that's about it for me. So I assembled and cleaned Granite and did their base. So once I finish those small piggies, I'll be able to work on her for our small Christmas event.
Oh, yeah, you're going to play them and not your butchers? Oh, sweet. I don't have to die to those butchers again.
My I want to have fun your and not stress about competitiveness, so I'll go with the team I know. I don't know.
No, this event is run by Steve. You're not allowed to have fun.
You said the exact same thing last time. Yeah.
Did I?
So.
Oh, wow.
But Steve will try to suck the fun out of the tournament. We know we will.
No, I think he's playing Rat Catchers, right?
I don't know.
As a challenge to himself, yes.
Yeah.
Like he has mastered Mortician and Hunter, so he's trying Rat Catchers just for that.
Yeah, I'm probably still going to rock my Union. I don't think my Blacksmiths will be ready. And actually, my Blacksmiths are a better army. So.
A full week, that doesn't help to get them ready in time. Not with the time you put on each of them.
Well, I mean, I could take them on the boat, you know, on a cruise, on my balcony, painting miniatures.
You should bring navigators for them. No, I know.
I don't have
navigators. That's what I would like to play, but I ordered them through our store, and I don't see them getting here in time.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't think that's the store's fault.
The regular delays from Steamforge. Like, the boat should be here this week, then they need probably a week to get to the distributor, another week or two to get to Canada, then get to the store. So, it's going to be past the event for sure. I know one of our local will have them.
For sure.
I wonder if he's going to pay them, because he ordered them direct instead.
Yeah. I'm wondering if that local realizes that he got a good deal. But it shipped UPS, eh? Customs came a call. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would have liked to play those.
I hope he makes out okay.
I would have even less experience with them. So that would have been even better for the tournament. But Mason will do. I had fun in my first two games with them.
I think people will like you better with the Masons anyway.
Yeah.
The Navigator reroll mechanic, I don't think is broken, but I think it infuriates a lot of people.
My Butcher is pretty infuriating.
That's kind of the impression.
If not more, so.
Well, your Butchers are pain in my ass. Mm-hmm. But I play you anyway, because I love you. But
everybody,
because you're a good guy.
I find them annoying, so. It's not just you.
No. I don't find them annoying. They're tough.
You're really, really good
I've
with them.
I've played the same base six models for 4 years. I'm starting to know them,
okay.
And the six models I play all got better. Like, the full team didn't get all better. Some stuff got worse, but the core model
but your,
the
your core models got better,
the
absolutely.
Best one, so they got the more buff. So, I was making them work before. It's
doesn't show.
Better now.
It doesn't show that they were weak. Not with you at the end.
That's it. That's all I worked on. Oh, no, that's not true. I spoke about pressure casting. So, my pressure tank is all ready. Everything, all the gauge, the pressure gauge on it is done. The ball sockets, I think is the name. Everything to make it work is done. I'm just missing the compressor. So, it's all assembled on my casting table and it's waiting for its, air friend.
Yeah, it's waiting for its inaugural run.
Yeah, I was hoping to do it with the mold I'm doing right now, but sadly it won't be here for another week or two. The compressor. I'll do some regular cast before, just to test, and I'll probably wait after to get the compressor. Yeah,
well, it's Christmas and everything too, right? So.
Yep.
Not a good time for trying stuff new. Especially not when you're a parent with Christmas shopping and wrapping and all that other stuff to do.
That's almost done, so.
That's why. That's why I'm going away and leaving it to my wife.
The man with the plan.
I always have a plan. It's not necessarily a good plan, but I always have a plan.
Yom, you've already mentioned your game. Paul, did you play?
You want to mention this game? What?
Oh, no, that was pre-recording.
No, that's why. That's why yeah, I commented that Yom skipped the game part, and that's what I did too.
Because I don't know what I'm doing.
It's not your fault, you're retarded.
What have you been playing?
So it's playing, okay, past weeks.
We usually say past week, singular, but you can have some leeway.
Why? Yeah. But you make an exception?
The show's only an hour and a half long.
Okay, so I cannot go talk about all my hobby project from the past like year because I've not been on the show. Because I have a sheet here with everything marked down.
You know, the funny thing about podcasting is I can just cut your stream. And Antoine and I can finish the show.
All right. So I can just still force you to listen, and then you're going to edit that out.
Exactly.
So you're the only the one who's going to suffer. Okay. Game-wise, let's see, last week, I played, we have one game night per week at Abyss, at the call store. So I went there, I played Warmer Horse against Daniel Arsenault. I was playing Striker 2 in Heavy Metal. He was playing Krios something in Exemplar list.
It's Krios 2.
Krios 2, okay. The only thing that struck me was the difference between a Team Force from like late quarter 2018 against a Team Force like start of 2016. it's a big difference. it was really comical. Like how good it was, his list. Like everything, the synergies between everything and mine is like So
on that point, it's not just Team Force. Because that Theme Force was actually last year, right? Or very early this year. I think it was last year. The thing is that most of his models have just gone through CID.
That's what I meant. I mean, they redid... Like, they did a big CID with the Exemplar.
Was launched, that Theme Force was launched in No Quarter. It wasn't even one of the original ones. And then they did an Exemplar CID at one point.
Yeah, sorry.
And fixed a bunch of O stuff.
Yeah, that's what I meant. It's because of the CID. That's what I meant. It was more. Yeah. It's more recent, and it makes a big difference for that list. Works together very well. To the point, it's almost infuriating. No, but it was a really fun game because it's Daniel, so it's always fun to play against Daniel. I don't think anyone can claim a bad experience against that guy. He's just too kind, too much of a nice guy.
Yeah, no, he's a really great opponent.
And I mean, things were really going bad for me, but he got to, not careless, but he didn't see that I had I could find a way to get to his caster with Striker. So I started my caster kill run, and I just want to mention that game because of that, because I never had a caster kill run with Striker 2 went that bad. That went that bad. So, like, I was, like, starting my activation to prep everything to send Striker in. But I forgot that he had counter charge on his jacks. So, I remembered in time that he had counter charge, but it kept me from sending some key models, like, to give myself buffs. So I had to send, like, Striker without assist, without kind of naked. I had to take a free strike, like, because I couldn't, like, if I attack a model that was in the way with another model, then his jack would counter charge that model and it would block my way. So I had to go and take free strikes to get in. That left me on not a lot of, like, I lost some points going on the way in. And then I overcharged with Striker, of course. Rolling like 11 for damage on myself on 2 dice, leaving me on 2. And I boost my strength for 2, like snake eyes on 2 dice. And then I needed 7s to hit, and I missed 5 in a row. And then I was left in front of Krios 2 and all his exemplars before his feet. His feet is auto hit in melee with 2 hit points. Yep. So the old I forgot I couldn't, like, take out all the models. It's not the perfect road to get there. Oh, I cannot send models to help me. Oh, I cannot roll a 7. Oh, I only rolled 2 for strength. Oh, oh. It was just a succession of oh, 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 oh. So, yeah, that's how it went. and I also gave a Guild Ball demo of Season 4 to an old player of Guild Ball. Well, he stopped playing, I think, when Mark 3 came out for Warhammer.
Like most people.
Like everyone else?
Yeah, let's say like a lot of people. Because he's a really competitive player in Warhammer Hordes. And was pretty good also at Guild Ball, but he stopped playing altogether to focus on one game. And we've been giving so much like positive, such a positive vibe about the Season 4 that he wanted to try it. So he had his old Alchemist team and
yeah. Well, that's a good team to have too.
Yeah, now it's a good team. But I mean, we went really slow to recap all the abilities and what he could do and what I could do. And so it's more like really, really more like a demo or
an intro game.
Welcome back to the game. Yes, it's because he knew the game. He didn't find it much change about the core mechanic.
No.
But his team changed a lot. So
that's a fair assessment. The core mechanics didn't change that much.
So that was fun. And after that, on Friday, at our at the bunker at Steve's place, I played against Steve. And like we said, Steve has reached the status of Apex Predator with Mortician and Hunters. So he's trying to master, well, he's on this personal quest to master the Ratcatchers. So he played Ratcatchers against my Brewers, knowing that it was a bad matchup if I started with Esters, which I did. But he wanted to try it. And that was, I think, my first win against Steve in like 4 years. Something.
Oh, but what a win.
Yeah, I couldn't believe. Like, at some point, I showed you the scoreboard because I couldn't believe the scoreboard because I was like leading
11 to 2 or something.
I was leading 10 to 1. It's like, that's crazy. And I can take half models next turn. It's like, there's almost nothing you can do. But it was like, that's impossible. When was the last time that happened? Never.
Yeah.
So I hope he didn't take that as mocking, more as like, oh my God, I cannot believe my eyes.
I don't think he'd take it that way, yo. I mean, it was kind of funny, and Lord knows, we've all had it happen to us where we get steamrolled, so.
I mean, he's really, he's a competitive guy, but that game, he was clearly not competitive. He was trying and he wanted to see what would happen, and he was really more relaxed than usual. He was expecting.
Well, I mean, you can't be woke all the time, man. Even Steve has limits to how wound up he can be.
So that's it for my gaming.
All right. Well, I guess that brings it to me. Sorry, give me 1 second here to finish mangling what I'm mangling. Okay. Oops, I highlighted the wrong side. Well, apparently I'm not done mangling what I was mangling. Anyway. So I played a couple games last week. I played at the gaming store on Wednesday, I played against something. Oh, Butchers. Right. I played against Butchers. A really close game. I think I lost 12 to 11 off of to our buddy Guillaume. The other Guillaume. And I lost. Well, I don't know if there's any one thing I did wrong. There was a bunch of small things I didn't do quite right. I think my biggest problem was I had an opportunity basically to hold on to the ball at the end of the game. He was clocked out, and I was getting points on activations. And at the end of the turn, not quite the end of the turn. I think he had a couple activations left. I decided to kick and score a goal instead of banking the ball and just keeping it away from him and holding onto it, which meant that he could kick the ball back in to a player that was farther upfield and just do a just score back, and that took him to 12. And if he hadn't have done that, if he hadn't have scored that point on that activation, I would have won the game. So, I kind of felt bad for myself because I gave that game away, and it's a friendly game, and I don't, I'm happy Guillaume won. It's not what I'm trying to say, but it was something. It was a game I could have won, and I knew it. So then later on Friday at the bunker, I played our buddy Chris, who was playing Alchemist, and I ended up in a similar situation. And that time I chose to hold on to the ball, and I won the game, and I felt pretty terrible about it. And I realized there's no way for me to actually win. So either I feel terrible about playing competitively and doing what's best to win, or I play less competitively, I give up a goal, and I feel terrible because I gave up a goal. So I think the problem is that I'm slightly competitive, but not competitive enough. So I'm, like, cursed.
But is this depending on the player, like the opponent? Like, would you have felt bad against Guillaume? What you did with Chris?
Would I have done that to Guillaume? Well, obviously, I didn't do it to Guillaume.
Yeah, but if you did and won, would you have felt bad?
Would I have felt bad if you
probably
did it to Steve?
Well, no.
So there's a breaking point somewhere, but we have to find it.
No, but that's different, right? So Steve is a super competitive player, and Steve would do that to me as a competitive player, and I have no problem with that tactic being done to me. I don't want to make it sound like Steve's a bad guy, because that's not the case. No. Steve is the friendliest whack player I know. Yom, you better be careful with glass houses and stuff. Because you have an awful competitive side too. When it sneaks out, it is very, very present. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, not to malign you in a public forum, but I know you.
I'm gonna argue.
Yeah, well, it's good because you'd be lying. So the thing is, I think it really depends on the player. And G is a casually competitive player, kind of like I consider you to be as well. You like to win. You can make a fun list and play a fun list, but you still try to win with it and you try to do your best.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, and I think Chris is like that as well. But to try and like intentionally sit on the ball and eke out a win that way, point by point, by clock. I don't know. It bothers me. In a tournament, I would do it without hesitation, because that's the environment for that. But in a semi-fun, casual, format, or as casual, I suppose, as casual as it gets on the clock. I don't know. I have to do some soul searching, figure out where I stand. I'm on the precipice, I'm staring into the abyss of of tournament gaming, and the abyss is staring back.
So you're gonna pick our Kraken next, or I'm reading that wrong?
I'm gonna play Kraken next. Yeah. Going back to fish, you mean? I thought about going back to fish, to be honest. I'm having a hard time with Union in season 4. I find, I find their matchups, they don't have a lot of good matchups, I don't think they have a lot of, horrible, oh my god matchups. But I'm finding it hard to figure out where they shine. Because they're not a super BD team. And they're not a super scoring team. And I think because of that, they're in kind of an odd spot. Because I think the meta is filled up with super BD teams and super scoring teams. And I'm sure people will tell me I'm wrong, and that's okay. I very well might be. Yeah. But all that to say, they were great games. I had a lot of fun. I really have to say I love our local kind of Wednesday night gaming group. Everyone's super fun. There's no one I actively try to avoid playing against, which is more than I can say for a lot of gaming groups I've been in over the years. I don't know how you guys feel, but...
Oh, I agree.
I think we're pretty blessed. It can only be better if Antoine had more time to show up.
Last time I went on the Wednesdays.
Yeah. But that's... real life gets in the way. That's story of our lives as parents, right?
It's all getting better now, but I'm available most... For the past few weeks, I could be available in the evening, but never on Wednesday. It was mostly a timing thing.
Well, that's why we did the... Did we record? Oh, I guess we talked about last week where we did the game at your house, right? Oh, yeah, actually, we did Judgment. Yeah. I really wanted to get some more of that in last week, but this didn't happen.
That was on my side. And, well, we were supposed to play at the bunker. Yeah.
How dare you have a life? Yeah. How dare you have a life? Come on.
And this week you're going away, so no Judgment either. So,
yeah. Well, you can play possible. Without me.
We'll see with the other.
Indoctrinate more people. Have.
And shoot.
I know Guillaume is really interested. The other Guillaume. I don't know about Junot. I think Junot might be interested. How are you, Guillaume? Are you interested?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, show me the game, Tonio. No problem. I'm on the fence because I'm trying to not join a new game, but Tonio is pretty good at making me join new games.
Well,
if history, if experience prove anything.
At least we can play with a common pool of models, which makes some things better. Yeah, so if I have a bunch of models, then you guys don't necessarily have to invest. You can invest in a couple you really want to paint and then just use mine for everything else. And people would comment about how, why do you have so many, three quarters of your models are ugly and you have like a couple really awesome looking models. Be like, oh, it's because my friends painted that one.
You have already great comments about your Minotaur, so.
I know. But it's fun to play the Martyr.
So that was your old that gaming? Looks
awesome. Yeah, that was it.
On my side, to go quick. I couldn't play in the two usual evenings, but my really a strange happenstance. Daniel Arsenault, which Guillaume already mentioned, had a free evening on Saturday because his girlfriend had a Christmas party or something like that. And he booked me, and I was able to leave early, and we got two games in. First one, we got a game of Relic Knights. I played my Shattered Sword Paladin. He played his Sorcery Speed Circuit. We were a bit rusted. The last game was probably early August we played together. So it came back fast, but some of the basic rules, like mostly a scenario setup and some of the generic abilities we had to double check. But outside of that, the game went fast. It took 2 hours with setup and tear down and chatting because we just got there and hadn't seen each other in a while. So that was pretty good. The game was fun. Once again, multiple stand-up flips. Stand-up flips.
Multiple what?
Instead of stand-up diet falls. When you flip the card, will it work? Won't it work? Because you don't have the card in your hand, so you flip to see if it works, and cheers or boo!
Right, because it uses the card pool. Okay, I was all
it's
confused.
It's been too long since you
looked at
that game, Paul. Yes.
That's right, you have your Esper deck, right? Yeah.
And in the first edition, when you add your passive abilities, you draw cards. And you played from your end. Now, instead, those passives are straight flips, and you can pay from them. So, they're open flips, and your opponent see them. So, and if you know you don't have it in your end, or your opponent know that your end is out, so you're going to have to pay from those flips. So, it happened at least a couple of times where Will that, the fate of that model or the fate of that objective is standing on that two card flip right there. Will it show the righty spur or not? Who knows? Yeah, it was really fun. And after that, we got a quick game in of Guild Ball. He played his Morticians with Scalpel, and I played my new Masons for a second part with Honor. So, game went fast. Nice. I think we did three goals in the... two goals on the first turn. Yeah. Went to turn three. I got two goals and two takeouts. And Daniel got one and one.
Oh, who did you take out?
I didn't take Casket. I took out Veteran Temlock and Bonsa. Bonsa because he did a goal.
Shoot.
And
sorry, I laughed because last time I played him, I killed Veteran Hemlock too because of something stupid he did.
She was well placed and she was in a good defensive position, but the timing worked out well for me, and I was able to get to her with Honor with her legendary. So I got 7 attacks on her. I didn't get 7 attacks on her, but I had my full complement of 7 influence to use. So yeah,
yeah, yeah. So it she went died to the last die roll.
So my last attack. So,
but oh, wow.
I had to use acrobatic to get there and charge.
Good for you.
I was down to 4 attacks, but still.
Good for you because I hate.
Oh yeah, she's so good.
Veteran in luck. Oh my god, she's annoying.
Yeah, I'm so happy I picked her up.
Really, really good. Her and Veteran Minx. Those two, the two veterans that Steve use. And I don't know if that aid comes from mostly playing Steve usually. But those two, I find them so good. And I think it was some jealousy from compared to Veteran Gutter in Season 3, which was really not that great, I find. She seems better now. I have not played her. But those two, Veteran Gutter compared to those two other veterans were... Yeah.
She was a little lackluster comparatively, right?
Yeah. So, fun game. My second game with the Mason, and I'm really liking the playstyle. I'm not liking all the models. That's why I picked up Granite, like I mentioned. I don't want to get the full team. That would mean getting the new box, but seems to be out most of places. And I don't want to play another captain. I'm going to do as I did with my Butchers and just concentrate on a base 6 or 7. So I just switched. I'm probably going to switch Brick for Granite and see how it goes from there.
Really?
I really had no success with Brick.
I know he's less... Okay. I know he's less good than he used to be because he doesn't have 2-inch reach anymore. I mean, I've never played Masons, so I can't comment on, that makes sense, or it doesn't make sense. Yeah. I don't know. And it depends on your playstyle, too, right? I think there's a lot of fair options now.
Didn't really do much. And
you know what? It sounds like Gutter for me. I have a hard time with Union and Gutter. I find she doesn't do a whole heck of a lot unless you're playing her with that Rage, and she's going to be a target for
But that's Fury. A way to play her, at least. With Brick, I only have two games in this, so let's be honest, it's not much. I don't have a huge experience with them, but...
It seems to be a trend anyway, Mason players.
And I like Brick. Granite model a lot. And having another 2 inches melee model is always good, so...
Yep. And she was a model that got like zero love last edition because she was terrible.
But, they only had 2 models in blisters at the store that I didn't have, and the other one was Tower, and he mostly buff damage and makes for a more killy team. And I already have a killy team, so honestly, there was only Granite that I would wanted to pick up.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing stopping you from picking them up at a later date if you so choose, if they still have them. Right?
Even
so.
Then, I don't think I'll do. Yeah.
You don't think you will?
I have my Butcher for mostly damage and some gold. I will eventually have my navigators for mainly gold and maybe some diamond, and the masons will be right in the middle of that. So I think I have a good spectrum. The only thing I won't have is a control team.
Yeah, I really should get stuff together. I got so many teams I should assemble.
And that's it for my gaming. So, do we want to go to the listener question we got? Okay. So
yeah, sure. Sounds good. Yeah, someone listens.
This proves it. We got on Twitter by @PolarBearAdapt with David Hafner. So, question for the podcast. When you get around to painting the miniatures, and that's because it was a reply to the Judgment episode, are there any difference for painting 54mm versus 28, 32, well, like regular gaming scale miniatures? And also, Paul's miniatures looks really good. And blah, blah, blah. Comments about the podcast. So, I have never painted a scale bigger than 32mm, but, well, 35 maybe, or 40, but nothing crazy out of the ordinary. I only painted lower. However, you guys, Yom painted multiple times bigger than that, and Paul with the Minotaur is also starting to do it, so I'll leave the pearl to you guys.
Go, Paul.
Okay. Well, I think a couple things I've noticed. One, I think this larger scale makes for a more forgiving model, because everything is bigger, surfaces are bigger, textures are bigger. I think if you've got a little weaker brush control, you can still do a good job.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I also think that because the model's bigger, natural light affects it more. It generates more of its own shadows, so you don't necessarily have to push the contrast as much to get a good effect. You'll get a better effect if you build better contrast, and you'll get a better effect if you have better brush control. But I think when you get to larger scale stuff, there's less immediate benefit. If you're pushing contrast a lot, yes, it'll pop more. But if you're not great with contrast and stuff, I think you'll still end up with a good looking model, just because the natural light will generate, you know, some contrast for you. On the other hand, bigger surfaces means more blending, and, you know, so it certainly forces you to improve those techniques that you use at the smaller scale as well.
Yeah, because you will have to do textures, you will have to do more like faces.
Yeah.
So it gives you more freedom, but it kind of forces you to do it also.
Yeah. Now, I'm no expert. I painted one model, and he doesn't have, like, it's different. For example, if I was painting a large-scale samurai figure, a samurai bust or something, right? Maybe I'd look at it and go, okay, he's got lots of cloth on him. I should paint some sort of texture onto that cloth. I should do some sort of pattern on it to break it up, because it's just a large, big surface on a large model. So definitely in that case, I would see that. But because the way this model is, he's a big Minotaur, right? So he's got fur texture, he's got, you know, bits and bobs hanging off of him and stuff. So a lot of it's there for me. I think if he was a human model and I was painting flesh tones and stuff, that might require more of a different skill. You know, it would definitely have to push things like the blending more. I think I did a fairly good job on his flesh tones for the blending. I don't have super good contrast, I know it, but that's just because of the way I like to paint. I think that it'll actually show up okay because of the size of the model, like I was saying before.
No, you make a good point about the natural light helping you. Yeah? No.
That's true. Well, because that's one of the things about smaller models, right? The reason we have to paint such crazy high contrast and line and do all these things to make areas of the model contrast with each other is because natural light, the natural shadows are so small, you don't really pick up on them with the naked eye, right?
Yep. It's a fun but weird scale. Because it will give you more freedom, but like I said, you have to go for it. You have to do it. It's not as complicated as doing like a 75 mil, but you still have like all that room to do a great face, but you will have to do it. So it's like an in between two worlds. It's a weird scale because you don't have to bother with that when you bother with that with 32 mil, but at the same time it's gonna take you like a quarter or a third of the time as if you were doing the same thing with the 75 mil. Like, if you want to really push the level, it's still gonna get it done quick. Like, it's not gonna take you long to achieve a fun result. So, if you have a small selection of models like that, I think you should go for the best that you can, because they are great models to try out. You can push them, but at the same time, it's not like a bust or a 75 mil that you have to really master your techniques so that it's gonna show well. It's gonna look good, yeah.
I mean, these are play models, right? So,
no excuse. I still think you should go for the best that you can on them, because that's a good occasion. It's a good opportunity. Because it offers you that possibility.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'm trying to... I'm doing far more than I would normally do on any other miniature. Which isn't saying much, really. I've often said I'm a decent painter, but I'm an army painter. So this I'm trying to dig a bit deeper. You know, channel my inner Yom.
Good. Good. Let it flow.
Whoa there. Darth Yom. But I'm quite in... That didn't come out the same color. I have one of those times where you use the same colors and next to each other, and for some reason they don't come out the same. That's what I'm having right now. I'm really enjoying the experience. It is a little frustrating to me that it's taking so long, because I'm not used to it. I can only imagine that it'll get better as I continue to work through the line. This will not be my only judgment model. I will have... that's not the same thing. Okay. I'm sorry. I will have most of Wave 1 coming to me, and then some of Wave 2. So I'm pretty excited. And I'm also painting in like the worst lighting possible, so that doesn't... That's not helping my painting either. I won't lie.
But I don't think you have to see them as just as gaming models.
No.
It's like an in-between between a display piece and a gaming model. So since you have so few of them, I mean, let's be realistic. Nobody's going to have like tons of them. Like, nobody's going to show up with 30. But since you have so few of them, I mean, yeah, it could be like an intro to display painting if you want.
Yeah, and they are lovely sculpts. They have some great details. I'm quite happy with them. Though there is something missing here, and I can't quite put my finger on it. Yeah, I think I think this will be a great learning experience for me. I already see things like my blending is getting progressively better as I work on the model, because I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Well, it's true, right? Like,
yes.
There's no other choice. This guy has muscles that are bigger than Space Marine torsos, so I can't just paint it all one color. Well, I mean, I could, and to be honest, I've seen a lot of models painted that way for Judgment, and they're fine. They don't look bad. But I think if I want to make it look nicer, I got to push a little bit more, and I got to build up that contrast. And it's like, well,
that's what I was saying. Yep.
Yeah. And if you do it for one part of the model, you kind of have to do it for all the model. You can't just, So yeah, it's a double-edged sword. It's making me overachieve by my standard. But I've been quite happy with it so far.
I think that's a great thing. And like you said, when you said that you can use like ambient light to your advantage, recently I painted my first historical model on a 54 mil. It's a Union soldier. I don't know if you remember the class with Meg Maples we had.
Yeah, of course. I organized it.
It'd be hard to forget. At the end, she was showing her models and she had a Viking, a 54 mil Viking. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, the Man Interrupted.
No, not that one. That was a smaller scale. She had a 54 mil. It's like a Viking lord, or I don't know. It was just like a guy standing. And because she was giving us the class on, like a part of the class was the seven steps eyes. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then she showed us that 54 mil. And she asked, do you know how I did the eyes? And the answer was, I did not make the eyes. I did not paint the eyes at all. She just painted like the eyelids, right? And because like they squinting, like this guy, I painted a Union soldier. Same thing is like going for this Clint Eastwood look, like squinting really hard. So I didn't paint the eyes at all. So even if it's a larger scale, like I paint eyes on 32 mil, but on this guy, I didn't paint the eyes. But it doesn't show. It doesn't affect, like, the expression works.
Yeah, and again, that's just because the ambient lighting and the effect it gives, the shadow it casts.
So it's a good occasion to try things and to push yourself and to try to master some techniques or get better in some techniques. But at the same time, it's kind of forgiving also because it's still smaller than the display piece.
No, that is true enough. And I'm curious to see. So I'm working on this guy now, obviously. But I'm starting to plan ahead, like what model I want to paint next in the line. And oops, that's the wrong paint. I foresee some real challenges in that line when I look at it. Like I'm gonna have to push myself on some models quite a bit, out of my comfort zone. Doing Minotaur flesh. On large scale is one thing, but trying to do a realistic human flesh tone, that's quite another. Because you can't get away with artistic license, right?
Mm.
But you can claim artistic license. People just call bullshit on you, though. Because, like, why does he look like that? Because I decided I wanted him to look that way. Yeah, no, that's not.
Because it's from a country that just shut up.
Like, that only goes so far.
But, yeah, remember what Meg told you, taught you, or remember what Liz taught you.
Okay, what specific thing are we talking about at this point? Because
Human skin tones. There was a part of the class about on skin tones.
Really?
How to go get your warm tones.
Hold on. What class was this?
The one with Liz.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
We did a... Okay.
Even in the Shibi part,
there was a part. Oh, we did that Relic Knights model. Yeah. I did terrible at that. I did horrible.
No, but the second date was
The Shibi came out much better, yeah.
But she gave some good pointers on how to do skins in the Shibi class. Paul, you organized those classes. Remember what
I
told you?
Yeah, I attended them too. It's been a while, okay? Cut me some slack. I'm not perfect, okay, yo? Can't be like you. Mister, I've got Photoshop in my brain.
Mm-hmm. That's why you see dumb things like that. Perfect.
I know I took the class. Does that count for something? I know I was there. All right. Antoine, what are your thoughts? I mean, I know you haven't painted anything, but you may still have some thoughts on the topic. You must still have some not thoughts much. On the topic, in fact.
You ask us for how we feel it's different painting than, like, I have no experience in it. I look forward to trying a bigger scale. I'll get at least one of those judgment models, maybe two. I might get one wave one and one wave two when that second wave gets available. And
you want the orcs, don't you? I know you want the orcs.
I want one orc, and I want the Matrix Elf. Yeah, well, I already what? Told you that I want to convert him.
Okay.
Oh, I clearly strong dislike reaction his, here. Wow. His look right now. But I mean, I'm not trying to be a challenge to a sculpting challenge, then a painting challenge to sculpt something at that modify at that higher scale. So, but I already know what I want to change on him, so that's gonna be
just lop off the head and sculpt a new one.
Change the staff, change part of the clothing, change part of the boots, and change the glasses.
I'd be curious to see how you change glasses. He's like, be how blind do you make them go away? Oh, so you're going for the Altherian look. Was that his name? I think that was his name, right? That is that the right guy? Is that what I'm thinking of? His name is Altherian? The blind sword master? Okay. From Warhammer Fantasy back in the day?
I think so.
Where he was blind, and then he wasn't blind, and then he was blind again.
I'm pretty sure that's it. So yeah, I want to do something like that. Like do not a headband, but bandages around his head. Change the staff, change some of the boot, and remove what looks too much sci-fi on him. So that, and one of the Orc Shamans.
That is my one criticism of the lion. The sci-fi stuff, and I understand why there's sci-fi stuff. I played League, and I understand that there's a blend of aesthetics in MOBA games in general. So I understand why they did it. But I find the models that have sci-fi aesthetics have an odd mix of sci-fi aesthetics. So like the Minotaur mercenary guy who's got like a circular saw weapon in one hand. And then what looks like a wooden blunderbuss in the other, and I'm like, huh? that seems to be conflicting, you know?
Yeah, that's a strange mix.
Yeah, and I'm sure some people love it, and that's fine. You know, everyone's entitled to like what they like. I just find it odd.
I find it equally odd.
There you go, we can agree. But yeah, I really think that people who want to try painting something different should try a larger scale. It really gives you a lot of freedom. And I think, you know what? I think they might be an easier scale to learn on.
Than other bigger scale?
Obviously, a more pricey scale. But I think larger scale is just overall easier to work on because your areas are further spread apart. Working on things like blending on a 28mm model can be tough, right? Because if you're blending on a surface, usually it's something like a cloak or whatever, and it's very small, it's all over the place, it's hard to get, you know, proper placement for stuff. I think you just end up with an easier palette to work on larger scale for technique development.
Yom, any last word on that topic?
Not really. I mean, we pretty much repeated what we said earlier, so no. It's a... You should try something larger, just to push yourself. It's a good opportunity. You can play with them. It's just not pure display, so that's cool. If you can find that.
I know for myself, I have those, and I have a bust. I got two. So those will be my first two bigger pieces.
I find them way more enjoyable. I way more prefer to paint larger pieces. You can let yourself go a bit. I don't know, just like have some
they're
fun
more fun
than just game pieces.
As a painter, that enjoyed the the painting aspect and not just painting for playing. Okay.
Exactly.
It's good to know.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think that statement makes a lot of sense. There's more freedom, right?
Yeah.
All right. Antoine, is there anything newsworthy this week?
First, Stonehaven. We love their miniatures. We got some, I think, at Gen Con when we went.
Yes,
really sir. Nice dwarves. And that's on topic because they are running their Dwarves Volume 2 Kickstarter right now. So it's
and you can never have too many dwarves.
If I'm not mistaken, 25 new artworks that are going to be turned into sculpts and some stretch goals one too. So a lot of new miniatures, a lot of new stunties are going to join your painting table. They are already past their pledge goal by almost three times. And they, by the time of our release, they will have just under 4 weeks left to go. So they launched pretty recently, and they are doing great. So if you like Dwarf, I can recommend them. The miniatures are amazing. I have a couple of them. One of them is on my painting table as a project for a display level painting right now. So,
yeah, they have some awesome, awesome miniatures. And that's what the Undead Dwarf is from, right? We quite like that line, man. I bought they had some nice halflings just dwarves. Yeah. I think they have a whole range of orcs as well.
I think they ran the gnome recently.
I think that was last year. Or early this year, one of the two.
They have amazing miniatures, so I can just recommend you to take a look at them. The Kickstarter page only has artwork, but if you go on their Facebook or their website, you can see the style of their sculpt, and you will be able to visualize from the artwork what they could look like. So that was the first thing. The second thing is Rivet War. So that... Cool Mini or Not ran a Kickstarter for that game years ago now, but it has since then pretty much died out. The game is still active, and the owner of the IP, Super Robot Punch, who is the graphic designer that created those models and started working on them, did 3D printing of them, started selling them as garage kits before being approached by Cool Mini to do the game with him. He had a bunch of other models ready, artwork for a full third faction, and I think a fourth one too. But that never got released by Kumira because they stopped working on the game before that. So he just released an update, and he put, I think, a bit more than an handful of models up on Shapeways. So you can order them from Shapeways, and you'll be able to get the new units. And I don't know how you can get the rules for them, but they will come eventually. So you'll be able to have new rules and new models for the Ruskins, I think the Ruska faction, and the Ottomans. So new models for the game for people who still like it, or even if you just like the look. They are fun to paint. I painted one of those. Well, not one. I painted a diorama of those, and it was really cool to paint.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that.
I brought it at the painting competition at Gen Con 101. So, so if you're looking for something different...
Let's go on the way back.
That might be something interesting. If you're into Chibi and World War One, but with a... more peg shape.
Yeah, they have a really fun look. Yeah.
Yep.
It's like old school little people meet Chibi World War One.
So we'll have a link in the show notes, or if you go to rivetwars.com, it's the first news item on the website too. So they talk about everything and how he's going to produce them himself for now, and maybe look for a different partner and stuff like that. So. I found that news item interesting.
It is.
And it's fun that it's not dead.
Yeah. It didn't look good for it. I think it suffered from Cool Mini-itis. Where, you know, they Kickstarter, they sell a bunch at Kickstarter, and then nothing ever happens with it afterwards. Because retailers won't touch it. And the retailers do touch it, tend to get burned because... it doesn't sell because everyone who wanted it back the Kickstarter got it direct.
So at least it's getting a second life. And those were the two news items I wanted to share this week.
Oh, that was short and sweet then. Well, I guess that's it. Yoma, thanks for coming on. It was nice having you. I say this before I've tried editing your track, so I may take that back at some point in the future.
So listeners may never know that you think.
Listeners may never know you were here, depending on how this goes. So.
I just want to point out that the working name was
Yomizode.
Yomizode,
whatever. And Paul had nothing to do with that name, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you hear the episode that finally goes live, every time Antoine says Yom or I say Yom, it's filled in with like a roboticized voice saying someone else's name.
Yeah. You're just going to do it like an interview with somebody else. Edit me out. Nothing's impossible with Paul.
that's an awful lot of work just to spite you. And, I like spite, as we all know, but there's limits.
Yeah, when it's too much work for you.
Yeah, exactly, right? You know, I've got a limited amount of effort I can put into spite.
Jesus.
Okay. On that note, guys, it's been a show. I will see at least one of you next week.
What?
We wonder
who. Well, you never know. Maybe Yom will be back.
And the episode I'm leaving it up to here.
It's a mystery. It was so I'll see at least one. Well, actually, maybe not next week because I'm on a cruise boat. So if I'm podcasting from the cruise, something's gone horribly wrong. I'm just throwing that out there. So maybe Yom will be on next week with you. You can edit your own show. It'll be trial by fire, Antoine. You can edit a show with you.
Ouch.
We don't know. Maybe it's better now. We don't know. It's
yeah, been like your sound might be better. My editing skills are clearly not. Yeah.
Practice makes perfect, Antoine. All right. We're going nowhere. So let's sign off.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to unitedgeeksnetwork.com where you will find Who, What, Why, a game design podcast, a podcast that talks about the ins and outs of game design with game designers. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at unitedgeeksnetwork.com.